Welcome back to The Bob Edwards Show on XMPR. Advertising agencies have never been known for their subtlety. Their messages are often blunt, insistent, and in some cases just plain old wrong. One suspect theme seems to have persisted through the years, according to Monmouth University professor Catherine Parkin. She's the author of the new study, Food is Love, Advertising and Gender Roles in Modern America. Women are often portrayed as the lone cooks and grocery shoppers in every family, even as they entered the workforce in increasing numbers. Advertising companies have spent billions to cement the notion that women can best share their love for their families by buying certain food products. Take this radio spot from 1963.
What did you seek for Mr. Patty
Cake Pan? A sample of them, ladies. One from each pan.
Children, stop shoving. There's more in the oven. Hey, Mom!
Put Patty Cake cookies on your shopping list.
Oatmeal, chocolate chip, and sugar mist. Umpteen varieties on your market shelf.
Why, they're so good, you're lucky I don't eat them all myself.
Patty Cake cookies. Patty Cake cookies.
In her new book, Catherine Parkin examines advertising trends from the beginning of the 20th century right up until today, and she finds repeated examples of women linked with food and food with love. Parkin became interested in the topic after one of her professors admitted that she never could have enjoyed a career in academia if it weren't for the introduction of fast food.
She was telling me that as she started to work with young children, that it became very difficult to fulfill both the working role and her homemaking role. And I got interested in how convenience foods have really made that possible for all people to be able to feed themselves and be able to work. So that was really the genesis of the project. And then I started looking at various convenience foods and how they were sold and who they were trying to sell them to.
Because it wasn't very long ago. Husbands make the money, wives do the housework.
Well, that was certainly the ideal, although women have always worked. And one of the early things that I discovered was that at the early part of the 20th century, Campbell's Soup, for example, thought that only the wealthy could afford their soups. And if you look back to the early ads, they feature women and men in elegant settings. The soups are in tureens, and it's very lovely. And an early study discovered by looking through the trash in homes in Philadelphia that, in fact, the working class and the poor were also buying the soup because it allowed them to work. And that included women. That if women are already working outside the home, and women have always worked, then somebody had to cook. And convenience foods made that possible.
So even the definition of cooking changed.
The definition of cooking is another interesting thing that I discovered is that what cooking is has always been fairly fluid. Heating things up, toasting things, removing them from a package, all types of very vague definitions of cooking, making a salad, cooking pasta. I mean, what the idea of cooking was quite amorphous, and advertisers loved that because it meant that cooking meant just heating up their rolls, browning them in the oven, was qualified as cooking a meal for your family.
But guys can open cans. I mean, advertisers still appeal to women.
That was one of my big questions. Men can open a can of soup. Men can cook anything. And in fact, the most famed chefs are men. So why was there this separation between the everyday cooking and the cooking that some advertisers revered? We have these chefs making these foods for you. What I discovered is that advertisers rarely portrayed men cooking. Usually they did it for laughs. They did it in exceptional cases, Saturday morning breakfast or cooking for company where they would get, you know, acclaim for their bravery in taking on this unusual thing. But they generally did not target them as cooks and as shoppers. And what's really shocking is that they knew. Their research had shown them time and again that men shopped for food, that they cooked food, but they really didn't want them to.
The grill was another matter, though. Out on the patio, it was guys.
Well, they certainly featured them barbecuing, but when companies like Weber looked at who was actually doing the barbecuing, increasingly women took over the grill. So we have it kind of romanticized as the male preserve, you know, meat and fire. But really, women do the vast majority of the work, buying all the food, inviting the guests, cooking, and cleaning. So even something that seems like a male preserve is largely not.
Keeps us guarding the cooler.
Or drinking from the cooler.
You quote a historian who found that early advertisers held the tacit assumption that women's minds were vats of frothy pink irrationality.
Mm-hmm. The advertisers really had some fairly insulting attitudes towards women. Obviously, they did towards men, as I suggested earlier, but their attitudes towards women were also fairly offensive, as you suggested with Lear's quote there. They really did not know what to make of women as consumers. They couldn't figure out who was buying their products, and they certainly couldn't figure out why they were buying their products. And one of the things that they concluded is that women were just irrational. If they couldn't figure it out, there must be no reason behind it. And they came up with some fairly insulting attitudes and certainly advertisements towards these women, not really respecting them as homemakers. And this is something that took off in the 20th century, the idea that home economics, something that many people studied when they were in school and could train to do, was not something that was really respected. And that's ultimately why women are left to do this unpaid work in the home, because it's not something that's particularly valued. And that's why advertisers dressed it up in the guise of love, that you have to do it to show your love for your family.
You provided us with a few sample radio commercials. Let's hear the first one. This is for Campbell's Soup.
Campbell's in the cupboard, like money in the bank.
That's the truth. Campbell's Soup really helps me stretch a dollar. One night a week, we have a soup and sandwich supper. Sandwich fixings, milk and fruit, served with good hot Campbell's Soup. Like chicken noodles. The family loves it. These days, I keep plenty of Campbell's Soup in the cupboard.
When it comes, baby, it's the Campbell's you can thank. Campbell's in the cupboard, like money in the bank.
Campbell's in the cupboard is like money in the bank.
It certainly was for women. The ideal held that men were supposed to bring home the money, and women's power to shape their family's identity really came from their ability to stretch that money, make it last, make it work for them. And certainly class plays a very big part in the advertising, trying to persuade consumers, and particularly these women, that if they buy these foods, they'll be able to feed their family, give them nutritious meals, and present their family as middle and hopefully upper class with the products that they're trying to sell.
Be efficient, do your job in the kitchen, that's love.
Absolutely. that's the goal. Sometimes men weigh in the ads, telling women to do it like they do in business, and that this would be a good product to buy because it's efficient, and that's a big word in advertisements. But it really comes down to women having this power to shape their family.
But as you pointed out, the makers of some convenience foods like Campbell's and Stouffer's actually targeted women working outside the home. And on the surface, that seems very progressive.
It certainly does. They even take on things like suffrage and the women's movement, making it appear as though they were encouraging women to seek out some freedom, seek out independence. But underlying those ads is a sense that they should prioritize their homemaking, that even while they're working, even while they're at the convention voting on a candidate, they should be worrying about whether they've prepared the right foods, purchased the right foods, and what they're going to make for dinner that night.
Why is it that soups and baked goods, the ad agencies for those products, work the hardest to tie their products to the concept that food was love?
They certainly did. They really keyed into the idea that these were foods that men really loved and that they should prioritize giving men these foods. I think in part it has to do with their commonness, that they're staples. If you think back to the earliest foods that people ate, they were a type of a soup and certainly some kind of carbohydrate like that. And they have to dress it up. They have to make it something that will sell. One early advertiser, David Ogilvy, said that there really wasn't very much difference between the products, and they had to find a way to sell that. Bread's going to taste fairly similar. Soups are going to taste fairly similar. How do you sell them? And the advertisers really sold soup and bread as love items. I wonder perhaps if it has to do with the warmth of the items, that they would fill you with love and warmth in that way.
Or love of country. Here's one ad you found from 1905 that says the product will soon be on every table at every meal, giving life, health, and strength to the American people, thus in very truth becoming the backbone of the nation. That was an ad for a cracker.
From the National Biscuit Company. They weren't too subtle in the naming their brand either. That would be the later Nabisco. They really wanted to make foods patriotic. This again ties into making your family's identity. Do you eat foods that identify you as American, or are you going to harken back in 1905 to immigrant foods, foods that you brought with you from the old country? And so here was an opportunity, and companies did this throughout the century. Coming up on the 4th of July, you'll undoubtedly see Jell-O trotting out their red, white, and blue Jell-O so that you can spend hours in the kitchen cutting it into a flag-shaped mold.
Here's one from 1943, the height of World War II. The Homemaker II is making history, not just in overalls or a uniform, but even more in an apron. The American woman is serving her country as never before. Planning good meals is still a woman's biggest job. Our nation's families must all be strong and well-nourished to build for victory. That product was Chef Boyardee.
They love to sell this idea of patriotism. That ad was focused on women, although most of the food ads in the during World War II in particular focused on feeding men. Companies proudly touted that they were selling, that they were making foods for the soldiers overseas, and that this connection between home and food and love and food was really central to their product and to what they hoped to sell about themselves.
And defeat the Nazis.
Absolutely. You can do it with your ravioli.
Yes, this Chef Boyardee was not from Vichy, France.
Exactly.
From free France.
Don't worry, Mom. There's little time to rust. Don't worry, Mom. Everything's all right.
Catherine Parkin is back after the break with a few more examples of outlandish advertising techniques.
Dropped you a line to tell you how I miss your apple pies, your lullabies, your love.